We're going to start with our first speaker, and our first speaker is Rocky Block, who's at the Louisiana Office of Public Health, and he's going to talk to us about his experiences and their department's experiences with using one of the newly available rapid syphilis diagnostic tests.
Good morning, everyone. The title of my presentation is Using Rapid Syphilis Tests to Increase Screening in Community-Based Clinics and Organizations. I was also thinking about using the title Attacking Syphilis with an Enthusiasm Unknown to Mankind. So, I have no relevant financial relationships or conflicts of interest. So just to give you all a quick snapshot of what's happening in Louisiana, in 2014, we ranked second in the country for primary and secondary syphilis case rates. We had 575, and actually the most recent data from 2015 is we had almost 696 cases of primary and secondary syphilis. That 2014 data is actually two times higher than the national rate, and we do have folks, both men and women, who are seeing rises in primary and secondary syphilis. Although nationally, men account for more than 90% of all primary and secondary cases in the nation. As far as mother to child or congenital syphilis, Louisiana ranked number one in the country in 2014. We have fantastic wellness centers that we provide, six of them throughout the state. They are clinics that are connected to existing community-based organizations that provide comprehensive HIV, STD services in a warm, welcoming environment designed specifically for gay, bisexual, and transgender clients. They provide a gamut of services including gonorrhea, chlamydia screening, HIV rapid testing, as well as conventional syphilis testing. So we wanted to see how a rapid syphilis test would work in these environments. So the first thing that we did was provide a two-hour training to three pilot sites in October of 2015, and then three additional sites in January of 2016, including New Orleans, Shreveport, Monroe, Alexandria, Baton Rouge, and Lafayette. With these six sites, we had seven initial trainings to train 47 individuals on this test. The two-hour training did include a review of syphilis transmission, progression, and treatment to both clinical and non-clinical staff. But the main content itself of the training was on syphilis health check, the rapid syphilis screening test, quality assurance measures, controls, as well as follow-up testing procedures and treatment. This is what the test looks like if you've never seen it. It's a pretty easy-to-use test, 20 kits to a box. It's a qualitative screening test for the detection of treponema pallidum antibodies in human whole blood, serum, or plasma. Our wellness centers would do finger-stick whole blood procedures for this test. It's CLIA-waived, so you can use it in a variety of settings, which is positive. And it has a greater than 97% accuracy rate with a 10-minute processing time. So it's pretty quick. If you've never seen it, this is a snapshot of what the results themselves look like. The manufacturer put these drawings up on the right-hand side. So as usual, we always have to have a control line present for the test to be valid. If only a reddish-purple line comes under the control area, it's a non-reactive or negative result. For it to be a positive or reactive result, you got to have a control line that has a reddish purplish color, as well as a test line next to the T to have a reddish purplish color. And if there's no control line, it would be an invalid result. The picture on the left is an example of actual tests that were conducted for quality assurance purposes using control fluid. On the left-hand side, you'll notice the test has a red control line, and that's the only line present. That would be a negative result. The one on the right has both a control line and a test line, and you'll notice that the test line has a reddish purplish color to it, even though it's quite faint. So that will come into play as we talk about the results. So after the training, we had our wellness center staff start to roll this out. What they did is they offered syphilis health check alongside HIV rapid screening, as well as conventional gonorrhea and chlamydia testing. For folks who tested positive for syphilis, they were offered follow-up testing to confirm, verify the stage of syphilis and appropriate treatments. We want to make sure if we're going to test folks that we get them the treatment they deserve. The data that we used to collect the results were used on a comprehensive HIV STD form. We call it a Part 1 form. That's a one-pager sent to our office weekly, and obviously for positive results, they get in sent in within 24 hours. They were already used to using this form anyway, so there was no major change as far as how to provide us with the results. So we just started using this, like I said, in October. So from October 2015 to February 2016, our wellness centers conducted 1,234 tests, yielding 54 positives. From March to June, they increased that to 1,387 syphilis health checks with 40 positive results. So if you take a look a little bit closer at that, of those positives that we found, from October to February, 33 were confirmed positives, and we did confirm 20 false positives. From March to June, we conducted 40 syphilis health check positive tests, confirmed 22 positive results, also confirmed 13 false positive results. So some of the successes that we did find with this particular rapid test is we found 39 people with syphilis who had not been previously diagnosed, which is very important. 36 of those folks were male, 30 identified as gay or bisexual, bisexual men I should say, 34 were confirmed by DIS or disease intervention specialists to have been appropriately treated. So for folks who tested positive, we made sure at least 87% of them got the treatment that they deserved. Obviously, there's always some challenges and bumps in the road along the way. We noticed a learning curve for testers who had not previously conducted syphilis testing before, especially non-clinical staff. A lot of times the non-clinical staff were used to doing HIV counseling, testing, outreach, and the syphilis component was a little bit new. Other folks from more of the clinical background were used to this particular method of testing. Ensuring clients were being asked a proper screening question was definitely one major challenge that we found. So if folks have ever had syphilis before, even if they've been treated and thought maybe they've been reinfected, they should not use this test. Because it's an antibody test, if I have syphilis, I'm always going to have antibodies in my system. For those folks who thought maybe they were reinfected, we provided them with traditional, conventional syphilis screening to address that issue. But, which is interesting, on the left-hand side of the pie chart, for folks or for confirmed syphilis health check positives from October, February, we had 61% were new, 39% were previous diagnoses. So that was a challenge that we did address over time. And then from March to June, you actually see that new diagnoses of those that were positive jumped to 86%. 14% were previous diagnoses. One of the other challenges that we encountered was properly interpreting the results. So a lot of times, those of you who are used to HIV rapid testing, you have faint lines, but this particular test has what we call a ghost line. The determined HIV rapid test also has the same issue. So if I have a control line, it has to have a reddish purplish color, but if it's positive, the test strip has to have color. Sometimes what happens with whole blood specimen samples is you get a gray line or an off-white color line in the test strip. Folks were interpreting that as positive even though it wasn't positive. So that was part of the reason for those higher false positives. The other issue is making sure that folks were ordering the correct follow-up testing. So if I test positive for syphilis health check, we have to make sure that I get blood drawn that's sent out to the lab for both a non-treponemal test and a treponemal test. So at first they weren't doing that. Over time we figured that out with the help of our medical director to get those kinks worked out. Retraining in conference, retraining, so we had 11 trainings after the initial 7 for 79 more people. That really helped sort of get these issues out. We made sure that there was lots of dialogue questions from the wellness centers to us with the medical director. Make sure we're retraining counselors on basics of syphilis, signs, symptoms, and how that differs from HIV. And once again, stressing the importance of the red-purple line next to the test strip. Running controls side by side also seems to help. Like I had that picture up there earlier. If you put both, it kind of helps train your eye to get used to seeing that. explained the reverse algorithm, which is what this was, also had some bumps in the road, but making sure we had the right messaging to the right people. For non-clinical staff, simplifying it. For clinical staff, we had them meet with the medical director to explain the reason for that reverse algorithm. Also providing specific directions and code numbers helped. So for example, one of our labs that folks use with CRL, code number 3455, tells you exactly what you need. So over time, we had lots of bumps in the road, but we had a lot of successes. And over time, we reduced those false positives, increased more new positives. Clients said they loved receiving the rapid test in general because they're more likely to do it. They didn't have to wait. So proper consultation, multiple trainings, and communication, we feel like this could be a really good test for certain folks to have, especially hard-to-reach populations, folks that generally don't want to go to traditional clinical settings. Really, next steps, we're incorporating this with CBOs that haven't traditionally had clinical settings, expanding to parish health units to try and work on reducing the congenital syphilis rate, and as always, we need to attack syphilis with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. Thank you.
Great, thanks, that was wonderful. Do we have any questions in the audience? Case?
So what was the stage, what were the stages of the 39 that you identified? How many were early syphilis and how many were?
I don't have that data off.
You might need to repeat the question.
Oh, sorry. So the question was, at what stages were those folks found to be positive and then treated? I don't have that data off the top of my head. I'm a primary, maybe Debbie can actually answer that.
It was about half primary and secondary.
Half primary, half secondary?
Half primary, secondary, half early.
So those were positive RPR?
Yeah.
Okay, hi, Arlene Sainet from University of North Carolina. So first, I applaud you for doing this kind of work. It's quite exciting, but of course, there are some reservations which you pointed out about the false positives. First of all, you have to look at the glass half full, which you detected, it sounds like, 39 new positives, which is incredibly, you know, a great thing to comment on regarding the fact that these were, you know, community health centers. But my question had to do with the false positives, because I think that's the reservation most of us have about use of the rapid health test, specifically the Trinity Health Check. So do you have any information on the profiles of these individuals with false positive results, or do you think it was a performance of the actual assay, the ICS, the strip, and the ghost line?
Yeah, it's interesting. So if you look at the 97% accuracy rate, a lot of our folks are used to the rapid HIV test, which yield over 99%. Seems like a small percentage, but when you do a high volume of testing, you're bound to have more false positives anyway. But the other issue that we found is the false positives were greatly reduced with practice, time, and really getting used to asking that screening question, have you ever had syphilis before? Some people might not even know if they've had syphilis before. So some folks were asking, have you remember getting two shots in the behind? A lot of people will remember that. So it's not perfect, but I think it's a good option for certain folks, absolutely.
Yeah, I just want to make a point that for the false positives, I think the question is whether these were past history of syphilis or whether they represent biologic false positives. So just something to consider and discuss with your medical director.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Ginny Bowen. I'm with the Division of STD Prevention. My question was actually about whether this changed any of your practice in terms of treatment. I know that in some settings, like antenatal care settings, for example, where the threshold might be a little bit different, I'm just wondering if this test was implemented to expedite treatment or what the motivation was. Was it a lack of lab capacity? Why implement the rapid test in such a high-quality center?
Yeah, so the nice thing is, so you have community-based organizations, but now we have this clinical component that's connected to them. So they had the ability to do follow-up testing with the client there, for the most part, and then treatment right away. So that way, we're trying to not lose rapport for the client, having them to worry about coming back in, so we get them treated right away.
So I guess that was part of my question. You did you did change treatment practice.
For the most part, the clients that and then based upon the results of the follow up testing, if there needed to be changes, there were changes.
Great, thanks. I think we'll have to move on to the next one. Let's thank Rocky again.
Thank you.